Matthew chapter 5, would you please? Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at unlocking some of the secrets that Christ gave us about having a happy life. Happiness that doesn't rely on the circumstances going right all the time in this world. But we can stay, as I explained, as cool as a cucumber, so to speak. Even though it may be hot on the outside, when we're attached to the vine, when we're abiding in Christ and living in a manner that He wants, we can still enjoy that peace, that joy, that happiness that comes from Him. And we can't control the circumstances around us. And often we try to, in the hope that we can be happy. But here we discover that we can be happy regardless of the circumstances, and that's a more secure type of joy and happiness. But I'll read verses 1 to 3 and then we'll pray. Starting at verse chapter 5, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this day. Thank you that we have your word, which was spoken and recorded so many years ago. And it is still very much alive today. And Lord, applies to us so very much, even though we are so many miles away from where it was spoken, so many centuries away from when it was spoken. Lord, your word never changes, and we thank you for that. And I pray that as we stop and consider what our Savior said in this very small sentence, that it would help us, dear Father, and affect us as we go out and serve you this day and this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, blessed are the poor in spirit. We usually think it's a bad thing to be poor. But here we read that there is a blessing if we are poor in spirit. Now, what we do find with these Beatitudes is Jesus, with all of them, he first looks at the person. He explains what we need to be like. And then he gives a promise to the person who is like this. A promise where we can enjoy certain blessings if we are the type of person he describes. And so first of all, let's look at the person who he talks about. Blessed is the poor in spirit. So the big question is, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? I can stand up here and say, you need to be poor in spirit. But what does that mean? Could you say that you are poor in spirit? If you don't know what it means to be poor in spirit, you probably don't even know if you are or not. So let's consider this. The first thing we need to be sure of is when Jesus is referring to the spirit here, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's not saying be poor in the Holy Spirit. No, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We need Him in all His power governing us. This is referring to the person's inner man, their soul. That's what it's referring to there. Jesus wants us to be poor in the inner man. So what does it mean to be poor in the inner man? Well, there are two Greek words that refer to being poor. And when you consider the two words and see the difference, I think it shows us very clearly what he's talking about. There is one Greek word that is the word penes. And that means to be poor, to be needy, one who labours for his bread. And so this refers to those who aren't rich. They can't sit back and enjoy all the wonderful things that they have accumulated over life. No, they are poor. they need to work hard to make ends meet. They have to go out each day. They have to work hard so that they can earn something in order to survive the next day. And so they're not rich. Life is a struggle, but they survive. They are poor in that regard. And in our way of thinking, you would think that this is a wonderful way to describe the Christian and what Jesus is wanting us to be like. We have the attitude where we're nothing special. We don't have much to offer. But the little bit that we have, we will give it to the Lord and we'll serve Him faithfully, give Him what He deserves, and as we serve Him faithfully, He gives us what we deserve. We like to think that we've worked hard, made sacrifices for the blessings that God has given us. And I know we fall into this trap. Well, if I sacrifice and do lots of things, well, then God will bless me in return. And that's the way we like to think. We get what we deserve. You slack, you don't do anything, God doesn't bless you. If you work hard, serve Him faithfully, God does bless you. That makes sense. It makes sense to my reasoning. And this is how we often think. We look at all that we do for the Lord. We may even have a little checklist in our head of all the things that we do, all the things that we have surrendered for the Lord as well. We think of all the sacrifices and we think, well, I deserve what God has given me. I have faithfully served Him. I have surrendered all. So the blessings that God gives me is well earned, so to speak. And you know this is the way that we can often think because we feel as though God has robbed us when He doesn't bless us. I have done all these things for You, Lord, and You don't seem to be blessing me. And so you might think, oh no, that's a bit harsh. I wouldn't think that I deserve these things because I've served the Lord. But you know you really think that way when you get upset when you don't get blessed. And you think God's let you down. But we like to think, I may be poor, I don't have much to offer, but I have worked hard, so I deserve the blessings that God gives. Sad news is, that's not the word that Christ uses here when He says, blessed are the poor. He doesn't say, blessed are those needy ones who go out and work hard and get what they deserve. Now, He uses another Greek word. It's the word petokos. It means poor, someone who is reduced to begging. Over in Luke, we discover this word, if you just have a little look there, Luke chapter 16. A very familiar passage. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, we read, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. That's the same Greek word. It says there was a certain poor man, or as you could interpret this word, there was a beggar. Lazarus wasn't one of his farm hands, one of those poor people going out. No, he was lower than that. He was a beggar. He relied on this rich man giving him food for nothing because he wasn't capable of working for himself. And so he relied on this rich man's mercy and grace. And this is the word that Jesus uses to tell us the state of that our mindset, our spirit needs to be if we're to enjoy the promise that comes with it. We need to be beggars in spirit. What Jesus wants us to know is that it's the person who sees themselves as absolutely worthless the person that has nothing to offer, the beggar in spirit that will enjoy these promises. Someone who depends on Him and His mercy and deserves nothing from Him. You know, see, in those days, a crippled man or a blind man, someone like that, incapable of working, if they weren't willing to admit the state they were in and go out and beg, they would die. All right? If you said, what? Just because I've got no arms and no legs and I can't see, do you expect me to beg? No, I deserve more than that. I'm too proud to do that. Someone should just feed me for the rest of my days. I'm not begging. Now, that man would die in those days. And they need to humble themselves, accept the state they're in, and actually beg for their food. And Jesus is saying to us, it's not until we humble ourselves and see what we are in the light of His glory and accept that any good thing that we get from our Heavenly Father is due to His mercy and grace and nothing else, until we get to that state, we can't enjoy the promise. You see, Jesus wants us to be rich from Him, from the things He gives us, not rich from our own efforts. Empty self and full of Christ. And it'll only be when we see our need and accept that we are poor and needy in spirit and totally destitute of any worth that we will seek His grace and enjoy it. You know, there's a saying, I'm guessing it's a Chinese saying, it sounds like a Chinese saying. If the hand is full of pebbles, it can't receive gold. If the hand is full of pebbles, it can't receive gold. And often, we are so full of self that we can't receive what Christ wants to give us. As John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist understood there was nothing good of himself. If people are to be blessed, they need to see Christ. The Apostle Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And I believe he said in my flesh because he knew that there was one good thing in him, and that was the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. But Paul knew that of himself there was nothing. Nothing. He was poor in spirit. And that's the attitude that Christ wants to find in us. You know, I find it interesting. You know, we often like to build up the characters in the Bible. You know, we talk about King David, and we like to talk about how he loved the Lord, how he was courageous, he was mighty in battle, and he served the Lord. But I want you to turn over to Psalm 86 and see what David thought about himself. Did David sit there thinking, I am pretty courageous. I really do love the Lord, probably more than most people. I am well deserving of all that God gives me. Have a look at what he said in Psalm 86. This was a prayer of David. And he says in verse 1, bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. That's how he starts. He doesn't run through the list of things that he's accomplished for the Lord. He just says, Lord, I am poor and needy. I'm a beggar. I've got nothing to give you. And then he says in verse 2, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. He asked the Lord to save him and help him. I'm trusting in you for everything, Lord. Verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. What did he ask for? Mercy. Please give me those things that I don't even deserve. Verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He had an understanding that he was a sinner, but he knew that his Lord would be quick to forgive and show mercy. And so that's what he prayed for. And so despite all the things that David did for the Lord, he knew that in the inner man, he was bankrupt. He had nothing to give back to God, nothing that was deserving of anything good. He said, I am poor and needy, and I need your mercy, Lord. Otherwise, there's nothing. You know, that's a man, I believe, who was a beggar in spirit. He knew the condition of his soul. And I can remember the first time that I discovered this verse. I was about 20, 21. Not this verse, but this chapter. And it was at a time when I was just so frustrated with myself. It seemed like I went out every day and I was going to do what was right and I was going to have victory, and I came home a failure because I had succumbed to some temptation or I'd let the Lord down in some way, and I was extremely frustrated with my inconsistencies and failures. And I remember reading this for the first time with tears and praying the same prayer and saying, Lord, I am poor and needy as well. Please have mercy. Rejoice my soul and forgive me. And I would say there, that it says there in verse 6, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication. You know, I realized after constantly failing how dependent I was on God just being good to me because He's a good God, not because I'm a good child. And that's humbling to realize that I have to just rely on Him being good to me for nothing else than the fact that He's a good God and I can't earn anything. The only good thing I have in me is Christ and what He did. And it seemed like I went back and I prayed that prayer and that chapter every day, it seemed, for a very long time. And I used to love it when I got to verse 12, though. If you have a look at verse 12 and a few of the other verses, it says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. Why? For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set Thee before them. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. I love that. And gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give Thy strength unto Thy servant, and save the son of Thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because Thou, Lord, hast helped me and comfort me. I didn't think that everyone was out to get me when I was praying that prayer. I just knew I was out to get myself. And I was my biggest enemy. But what a rejoice to know that the Lord is great in mercy toward me. And He's full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering. And I knew then, at that age, that I need a God who is full of compassion and long-suffering. And looking back now, I can see that I needed to get to verses 1 to 6 where I understood how poor and needy I was before I could really enjoy those following verses in verses 12, so on. Once I realized how poor and pathetic I was, then I would seek the Lord for His comfort, and that's when I enjoyed His compassion and His long-suffering and His forgiveness. And I can tell you, I can look in the mirror and I know that I am no different now than I was those 28, 30 years ago when I first discovered this. Even after all these years, I'm still the same person. There is still nothing good in me. It's only what Christ has done. But Alan Mitchell himself, he's just as pathetic and poor and needy as he was way back then. Scary thing is, when you have been a Christian for a while, you can sometimes lose sight of that, can't you? When the Lord starts to portray himself in you and through you, and you can see yourself changing, sometimes it's easy to forget who it is that's doing the changing. We start to think that we ourselves have changed, and it's not just Christ. We are a little bit like the children of Israel. They knew they needed help for Jericho, but then they got confident in themselves and they didn't think they needed help for Ai. And it does scare me when I start to think that I don't need the Lord as much as I used to. Or when I start to think I am more deserving of his blessings than what I used to be. It's a scary thought if I think back and go, okay, I probably wasn't deserving of God's blessings when I was 20, but now after all I've done, all I've surrendered, all I've given, well, I think I am a little bit more deserving. That's a scary place to be, because that's someone that is no longer bankrupt in the spirit, realizing there's nothing of value that I can give the Lord. At times we aren't the beggar in spirit, are we? We get proud in the spirit. You know when you're starting to feel like that, because you get up in the morning and you think, oh, I don't think I need God's word today. I think I'll manage on my own. Or you start to think, I don't think I need to go to God's word to find his wisdom. I think I can work this out myself. Or it's more about me and what best suits me, not so much what God really wants. You can tell when you're no longer that poor in spirit, but you're starting to become proud in spirit, because your whole attitude changes. And when we get like this, usually the Lord just lets us go for a while until we make a big mess of things. And then we're forced to come back and accept that, hey, I have nothing to offer you, God. I just need you and all of you. And we pray, bow down thine ear to me. For I am poor and needy. Please save me. Please forgive me. Please be patient and long-suffering again. Can I ask you, first of all, this evening, is how empty are you of self? When you sit there, how deserving do you think you are of God's blessings? And you think, well, I've sacrificed a fair bit. I think I'm fairly deserving. How poor in spirit are you, truly? How much value do you put on yourself? Or are you still just the nobody who just so happens to have a wonderful, wonderful God who loves you despite what you are? Well, the attitude that Jesus wants us to have is to be poor, to be a beggar in spirit. God, I'm nothing. I need you for everything. And it's when we're like this, there is a promise that comes with it. And this is where we see not the person, but the promise, because he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so, those who are poor in spirit are blessed because they get to enjoy the kingdom of heaven. So what does that mean? There's a lot. Let me stop here and just let's consider what the kingdom of heaven is first of all. Is it saying if you're poor in spirit, you get to go to heaven? That's not what it's saying. There's a lot said about the kingdom of heaven. But for me, the easiest way to think about the kingdom of heaven is wherever Christ reigns, that's a part of his kingdom. We like to think of heaven as the kingdom of heaven, but that's where the throne room is. But wherever he reigns, that's a part of his kingdom. You can think of it like King Nebuchadnezzar. His throne was in Babylon. That was the capital, but his kingdom went right down to Egypt and various other places. His kingdom was wherever he had authority and reigned. Same with the Lord Jesus. And I believe this promise that the Lord Jesus makes to those who are poor in spirit does have two aspects to it, present and future. Now, the future's easy. We all know that Jesus reigns in heaven. And one day in the future, we will be able to enjoy that for ourselves. We will enjoy reigning with him in heaven and also through that millennial period. A place and a time when there's joy, no sorrow, no pain, gladness. And that's the ultimate blessing. That's the future promise. But it's true to say that this future promise is for all who are saved, not just those who are poor in spirit now. See, you can be very humble in your soul and be saved, die, and you will get to enjoy that kingdom of heaven in the future as well. But what we see here is if you are not poor in spirit now, you don't get to enjoy the kingdom of heaven now. That's the key. The kingdom of heaven now while we live as we could and we should. You don't get to be able to have that joy that Christ is reigning within my soul and I can trust him and I can have peace regardless of the circumstances around. You don't get to enjoy that. If you're not poor in spirit, you miss out on those blessings. You miss out on being, as I said, as cool as a cucumber, regardless of what the circumstances are about you. And there are a couple of ways that we can miss out on this. You know, there's no doubt from Scripture that the church now is a part of the kingdom of heaven. You know, we're told that. Jesus reigns over the church. Both the universal church, but also he wants to reign over a local church. And if we as a church are poor in spirit, in this local church, our Savior can reign and we can enjoy him reigning over his kingdom here and enjoy all the blessings that this world can't give. You know, a church where Christ reigns is a church where you can enjoy the blessing of unity. You can enjoy the blessing of fellowship. Enjoy the blessing of encouragement, of guidance, of acceptance of who you are, regardless of what you are. These are just some of the blessings that our King wants us to enjoy in this local church if we as believers allow him to reign. If we are poor in spirit, we get to enjoy this. But what happens if we're not poor in spirit? We don't get to enjoy this in a local church. Instead, we have jealousy of one another. We have unkindness towards one another. We get angry towards one another. All the products of self being in control. If we are not poor in spirit here, well then, we don't get the promise that God wants us to have when he's reigning in a local church. We miss out on that. We miss out on the blessings that could be ours. But not only does it apply to the local church, it applies to the individual within a local church as well. Jesus wants the kingdom of heaven to be in us individually. It basically starts with us and then it's seen in the local church. But he wants us to be a place where he reigns as king in our lives. He wants our bodies to be a living sacrifice for Him, where we live for Him and we submit to Him in every area of our life. Jesus wants us to take self off the throne and allow Him to reign in every part of our life. And when we allow Him to reign in every part of our life because we are poor in spirit and we have allowed Him to, we get to enjoy the kingdom of heaven now in our own soul, where Christ is at work reigning in us. And when He reigns in our hearts, that's when we enjoy happiness, joy, peace, regardless of what else is happening around about us. You see, at the moment in heaven, Jesus is King. We don't have to argue about that. He's in control in heaven, and heaven is a wonderful place. Now, we can't go there to check it out, but we can see it from the Word of God. The angels love being in heaven because Christ reigns supreme. We know in the future Christ will reign over this world and it will be a wonderful place because He reigns supreme. And if we allow Jesus to reign now in our hearts, if we allow Him to reign supreme in this church, well, then this can be a lovely place now, and we can have joy within our soul now. This joy of Christ reigning is only for those who will be poor in spirit. That's what I believe Jesus is talking about here in this beatitude. If we're willing to accept that there is nothing good in us, and we beg God to have mercy upon us, forgive us, cleanse us, be in control of every part of us, well, then He will come and reign within us and be in control. And regardless of what happens in the world, regardless if we have problems with our family or problems with our health or problem with persecution from somewhere else, we know that Christ reigns in heaven. We know He reigns in our heart, and we know that He will ultimately reign forever. He's in control. And this world can't take it away, neither can it give us this joy. There's that chorus, "I've got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away." Goes on to say, Jesus is the something that the world can't give. The world can't give us the Lord Jesus. But when we have Him, the world can't take Him away. And it can't take the joy of the Lord away from us either. And this blessing comes to you and it comes to me if we're poor in spirit. So the question is, are you poor in spirit? Well, I'm going to help you discover that next Sunday night. We're going to look at the characteristics of someone who is poor in spirit. And you can see how much of self there is compared to how much of Christ there is in your life. So, we'll leave it there. And we'll turn in our hymn books